Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Kristen Fryer, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and a Pilates instructor in Cincinnati, Ohio. She's been teaching the Alexander Technique for about 10 years and the Pilates method for about 12 years. And we're going to talk today about these two methods of self-improvement, how they differ, what their overlaps are, how they might be combined. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Kristen, I'm glad to have you on this show. I've had a bit of experience with Pilates myself. I wonder if you could begin by giving our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique.
Well, I knew you were going to ask this question because I've heard all your other podcasts. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes to my mind is a book title called Love is Letting Go of Fear. And for me, the Alexander Technique is a means whereby of letting go of fear and moving into self-compassion or compassion for yourself so that you can live a more full life, I would say.
And fear often manifests as excess muscular tension, which is how a lot of people tend to think of the Alexander Technique, a way of releasing harmful tension.
Right.
But I like the fear one too, because that a lot of that tension is caused by some form of fear.
Yeah, the way we think about ourselves, our perfectionistic attitudes, our attitude, our way of being in the world, definitely is reflected in our body, in our use, in the way engage in the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think it'd be good if you could also give a very short description or definition of the Pilates method.
Well, the Pilates method is a series of exercises that was developed by Joseph Pilates that has very, very... it's a little harder one for me to define. I don't want to shortchange it. It has a very, very precise way of being done. And it's not something that you can learn very quick, I would say very quickly. It's got a depth to it that takes a lot of years to unfold. And it's done on really wonderful equipment that if you haven't seen it, it's they're really large and in charge, and they've got their wooden and very supportive pieces of equipment.
Yeah, there's a lot of a sort of exercise technology as part of that system. It's interesting. I did a bit of Pilates a few years ago, and at one point I actually read pretty much everything that Pilates wrote, which is not that hard because it's really like a book and a half at max. But the thing that just jumped out at me above everything else was that he seemed to be observing the same phenomena that Alexander did. And there are passages in Pilates books that Alexander could have written and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There was just a huge overlap in their, I guess you could not, maybe not their analysis of the problem, but their picture of the problem that most people in Western societies manifest. But of course, as you point out, Pilates is highly, highly targeted exercises delivered very, very precisely.
Very precisely.
And Alexander Technique has a reputation for not really prescribing any kind of exercise, particularly some. Alexander himself almost seemed to be a bit anti-exercise.
Yes, and this was a dilemma for me for many years.
How have you resolved it, if you have?
I would say that I really try not to think too much when I'm doing the Pilates work. I try not to think about so much about strengthening muscles as I try to think about muscles happen to get stronger because of the alignment and how we're doing an exercise. It's kind of a secondary thing for me. I'm not going to take someone and say, we are going to strengthen your quad today. I try to think of it more as it's a side effect of doing these holistic whole body movements, which I think is why Alexander didn't like exercises. He didn't think that they were sophisticated and that they were trying to think of one muscle group as a separate thing. You know, like this bicep here is this muscle I'm going to work out really hard. And it doesn't matter what that does to my pec, and it doesn't matter what it does to my latissimus dorsi. It's just about making this really big bicep. And I think, you know, every movement needs to come from a place of wholeness. And I think a lot of Pilates teachers think that as well. I don't think I'm the only one that would think that.
Right.
But that's, you know, that would be a sign that's not Pilates if you're being told to do one muscle group really hardcore. Like, that wouldn't be, to me, in line with Joseph Pilates thinking.
Right. But that critique that Alexander had would certainly apply to a lot of fitness programs today. I mean,
yes.
I go to a gym to swim pretty regularly, and I hear people talking about how they've, you know, got their quads a little bigger, right? You know, all that kind of stuff that you just mentioned. And I'm always it's a little upsetting to hear, really, because from an Alexander point of view, it's kind of, well, potentially harmful, and certainly not the best use of your time and energy.
Right.
Now, when a client comes to you, do you sort of offer them a choice, or do you combine Alexander and Pilates, or are they quite separate?
No, everything is. It's a daily choice. So I have a lot of clients that see me twice a week. So, and Alexander technique, I don't think people usually come twice a week. They would probably come once a week and maybe for half an hour. And my clients come twice a week for an hour. So we have plenty of time to do both, and to do what's necessary that day. You know, where are we at? We kind of do an evaluation in the beginning, and someone's done a lot on the lawnmower that weekend, and I don't feel like the Pilates the Pilates might be too stressful. We'll shoot more towards an Alexander table turn and chair work and kind of unwinding, doing more unwinding than engaging or thinking of too much engagement muscles.
And when you are working with your clients on the Pilates equipment, doing Pilates exercises, do you nudge them into self-directing Alexander style as they do that?
Yes. I have, you know, I have a lot of habits in how I teach Pilates because I taught in a studio for, you know, 10 years where the Alexander technique I was not really welcomed, we'll say.
Right,
wasn't
imagine.
Really.
Yeah.
So they wanted more of a uniform style of teaching, we'll say. So now that I've been on my own for a couple of years in my own studio space, and I'm trying to develop more habits of teaching that I think in my Pilates that, in, you know, instead of having to stop and get off the reformer and think about Alexander technique, no, we're going to be doing this all here. Like, we're going to use the Pilates method as a jumping board for you to practice Alexander principles. So, yes, I have quite a few things that we will do. We'll think of things like when they're laying on the reformer. Typically, when you lay on a reformer, your feet are up and your head is on a headrest, and you're on a moving platform. So you can extend your legs out, and the carriage will move out, and then you're on wheels. You can come back in and out with leg movement. Oftentimes, people try to do things like perfect their leg engagement by looking at their legs. And so their neck, the front of their neck will get kind of constricted, mm-hmm. and they're trying to see their own feet. And we'll do things like imagine you're laying on a hill with your head going down the hill and your feet are at the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to keep that image as you're going in. And then that's sort of a holistic thought that opens them like all the way through. They're not even thinking of their perfect, you know, the perfectionism of getting their legs perfect and their feet perfect, and let me look at that and make sure I'm not wrong. And they kind of go to the grassy slope, and they're in a different place, in another place at that point. And I think that was coming up with more images like that while they're engaged in Pilates, so they can really recognize the stimulus of the machine and the exercises, and try not to react to that stimulus so intensely, but to kind of back off a little bit and not be so engaged.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that with that approach, your students actually do better, even just say from a Pilates point of view?
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
yes.
I would imagine. So clearly, bringing to bear some Alexander technique thinking as you do Pilates exercises, as would be true of any exercise or any activity, is going to improve the quality. But I wonder if it works the other way. Someone who's had a bit of Pilates conditioning, is it your experience that they're a little better able to mobilize Alexander thinking?
Let me think about that. I would say that in my practice, it really depends on the person. I will say I probably have had a couple of people who've come to me with a strong Pilates training and been able to do the release work. I find that it's a real change of pace for them. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to back out of doing. And,
yeah, I was going to say to let go of the doing.
Into non-doing.
Yeah, to let go of the doing.
Yes,
yeah.
Non-doing is an art form that I would say a lot of people don't understand, and they don't even see the point of it.
Yeah,
and so
right.
Getting that across in a tactful way, because, you know, if you have, like, say, a Pilates teacher, that would be it's a confronting thing to not understand this whole non-doing thing and to have your whole practice and way of being in the world about doing. So... yeah, I've had a mixed bag with that, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Pilates himself, while he certainly, I don't think he thought in terms of non-doing particularly, but when he described some of the exercises, like the hundreds, for example, which is mm-hmm. a kind of a, well, it's a very specific kind of mat work exercise. He says very clearly that there's no point in going beyond 100 of these. He doesn't want to turn this into an endurance thing or a or a cardiovascular thing particularly. He just wants you to develop that ability, but there, get the certain targeted muscle strengthened, but there's no point in overdoing it.
No.
And I think he even says somewhere that it's really, he doesn't use these words, but something to the effect that it's really the quality of how you do these exercises that are the important thing. And not,
exactly.
And not endless repetitions without giving any thought to it. And of course, he was writing quite a while ago, I guess, and I don't know when he was doing most of his writings, maybe in the 30s or 40s, I'm not sure. But that idea was pretty far ahead of the times back then.
Yes.
I mean, just as yes. Alexander's ideas were light years ahead of the times in the 1890s.
Right.
Pilates was definitely an original thinker. I think when I've thought about things like Pilates and Alexander, to me it seems as though it's really important to look at Alexander's own idea of use, which he, you know, basically how well do you function. But he divided that into two categories. He divided it into conditions of use and manner of use. And it's a distinction that is not all that well appreciated, I think, even by Alexander teachers today, that conditions of use are kind of what the situation is right now, and manner of use is how you're managing that current situation.
Mm.
And I would say that Pilates, if you want to improve your conditions of use fairly quickly and efficiently, could be that Pilates would be a really good way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to improve your manner of use, maybe the Alexander approach, after you have improved your conditions or as you're improving your conditions of use, your ability to actually manage that improved situation can also be enhanced. And I
yes.
think that's what Alexander directing is really all about. I mean, there you could sort of do a car driver analogy there, but it's a little tricky because the car and the driver are separate entities, and you know we're just one entity
right.
ourselves. But
right.
there are elements of that, I think, to help understand that. So I don't know. Does that resonate with your experience in using
well,
these
yeah,
two?
Yeah. Yes. I do see that a lot of Alexander teachers are muscularly deconditioned.
That's very polite. Yeah.
and mm-hmm. having come from a place of, you know, I came to the Alexander technique in Pilates with sciatic pain,
mm-hmm.
and having started them both in my early 20s at the same time, I really could feel how the strength training and the Pilates work was truly, I could lift things that I couldn't lift before. I was waiting tables to pay for Alexander school,
mm-hmm.
and which was killing my back. And it was light years, like what I could lift easily and was not hurting me anymore from the Pilates training. And that was like right off the bat. I mean, just a couple of months of that, I could really mm-hmm. feel a difference. And then the Alexander technique slowly, I feel like has just changed my entire shape and the way that I move and the grace and the poise and all of that. I mean, they marry really well together. I do think they are definitely going towards two different agendas, but they work really well together.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of you were very polite in your description of Alexander teachers. I mean, you go to an AGM, and there are sometimes people there that look like they could just be blown away, you know, a little puff of wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that a lot of Alexander teachers have kind of have a bias against any form of physical conditioning, exercise kind of stuff. And I think that I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, Pilates is the answer for everyone, but if you want an intelligent, well thought out sequence of exercises that doesn't really emphasize quantity so much as quality, at least that's my sense, Pilates would be a great way to go. And I also, from my experience of having had a number of Pilates sessions, that I think a Pilates instructors would probably, a lot of them would do well to learn some basic Alexander ideas. I think yes. it would just make a huge difference, if nothing else, to help them perhaps with a little more accurate body mapping. I was really struck by, I had a Pilates instructor who I liked a lot. It was a good, she was very dedicated, but she had some really faulty ideas of human structure. And I think that kind of got in the way of her teaching a bit.
Well, and also just the amount of hours that you are teaching doing exercises, you know, it's easy to start engaging your stomach too much while you're teaching, while you're standing there watching someone work out. So even just being able to learn to stand and non-do and see the stimulus of your client working out without physically engaging yourself the whole time. I mean, that can really exhaust your back at the end of the day. So just things like that, just the awareness. And also just knowing when enough is enough for your client too. Just being able to pull the reins back a little bit more and value the non-doing. In some ways.
And so. I would think your teaching situation where you have both available, you could do, if it seemed the right thing to do, 15 minutes of Pilates and say, well, that's really enough of that. Let's get on to Alexander. Whereas a normal Pilates situation, that really wouldn't be possible.
Right. And that's why I get very few cancellations, because when I was just a Pilates teacher, you get a lot of cancellations because if the client's back is out or something's going on, that, you know, that they're not feeling up to working out, then they would just cancel. And now hardly ever get a cancellation for that, because they know I can change gears.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting point. Kristen, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to talk about?
Not that I can think of.
Well,
I think we covered it all.
Oh, really?
Well,
okay.
Not a whole, but probably enough.
Okay. Well, my guest today has been Kristen Fryer, who's teaches the Alexander Technique and Pilates in Cincinnati, Ohio. If anything that we've been talking about intrigues you and you live in the Cincinnati area, send her an email. We'll put a link to her site, or give her a call. We'll put a link to her site by the interview. And if anything we've said about the Alexander Technique intrigues you, I'll put a link to a site that enable you to find a teacher anywhere else in the world. Kristen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Robert. I really enjoy your podcast interviews. So great. Glad I get to be one of them.
Well, thank you for being here.
All right.